Well, good evening. I hope everybody had a nice weekend, a good Valentine's Day. And, you know, the weather was kind of rainy and gloomy yesterday, but today turned out to be beautiful. We had a nice Mardi Gras party in the patio here. So I hope many of you were able to come. I know some of you were. Now today, you know, we see in the readings from Matthew, we're continuing in this chapter about the Sermon on the Mount. And we heard last week that we are a salt of the earth and light of the world. And week before that, we heard the Beatitudes. So today we're going to hear more about how to live the law. And actually, the themes about living the law and free will run through all the readings today. So it's really, really a beautiful, you know, series of readings that we just heard. In Sirach, we heard the verse prior to what we heard. There's a verse right before that said, God in the beginning created human beings and made them subject to their own free choices. And then the first line we heard was, if you choose, you can keep the commandments. Loyalty is doing the will of God. So that sounds like some pretty big consequential choices that we have. So first, you know, talking about the law, the commandments, as we know, these were given to Moses on Mount Sinai. The people of Israel were just liberated from slavery, and they needed to know how a free people should worship God and live together in community. The law tells how to have a relationship with God and how to have a relationship with each other. So, once they were given the law, then everything was great, right? Well, not exactly. And as we know, there were growing pains. And in fact, today, we still have growing pains learning how to exercise our free will to live how God wants us to live. And sometimes we complain about the difficult choices and about accountability of those choices. But if we think of the other side of the coin, what if we did not have free will? No choices to make. Everything we need, according to somebody, was provided to us. Somebody would tell us when to eat, what to eat, when to sleep, what work to do. We would do as we're commanded, no questions. And there's a word to describe this, slavery. As the Israelites lived in Egypt, they were slaves. Yet during the Exodus, many times they cried out, if only we were back in Egypt where we had everything we needed. Well, this is not God's plan for us, his plan for our salvation. He created us subject to our own free choices, and we can choose to try to keep the commandments or not, as we heard in the first reading. In our modern times, today, there can be a tendency to say that the law or the Ten Commandments was just an Old Testament teaching, and that Jesus walked the earth preaching a message of love and peace. And those two things aren't the same. Well, that's not exactly right. Yes, the Ten Commandments were given in the Old Testament, and yes, Jesus did preach love and peace, but not exclusively. It's true, but you know, Jesus heard this kind of talk in his time. That's why he says what he said. He heard it in his time, and he knew that this nearsighted view would exist in 2026, and we would be hearing the same thing. So he tells us clearly, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. I think that's pretty clear. Now, Jesus then tells us how the law applies not only in our actions, but in our intentions, our internal lives. Now, if we thought the law was difficult before, hang on. Jesus challenged us to be more righteous than the scribes and the Pharisees. It seems like a tall order. And it is. If we look more deeply into this, well, how do we be more righteous? What does it mean to be righteous? Well, righteous means to be in right relationship with God and with each other. It means choosing to follow the law as God intended. Jesus tells us that the scribes and Pharisees gave the outward appearance of following the law and being righteous. They wore their righteousness like a fine jacket, And to most people, they would look and seem righteous. But it took God to point out that he knows our interior spirituality, and this external righteousness doesn't fool him. He knows our heart. It took God to challenge us and teach us to have interior spirituality, interior righteousness, and that surpasses the Pharisees. So today he tells us controlling our anger, our custody of the eyes, what we see and what we think, our marital relationships and our words. These are things that come from within us that we can hide from each other, but not from God. It's very challenging, and it can seem disheartening because we often fail, and our failures may not be visible to others, but we do. And we kind of despair sometimes because we know we can't do this alone. Well, thankfully, the church gives us help through the Holy Spirit and the sacraments. And if we look at the psalm today, it gives us a positive side. Blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. And I think because of what we just heard, we could also say, blessed are they who chose wisely, right? So in other words, it feels good to choose to do the right thing. It is healing for our soul. Now, we are called to be holy, and Jesus gives us a way to be truly holy, more holy than the Pharisees. Holiness is our calling, and it's largely an internal journey that we take with the support of each other, the body of Christ. Holiness isn't like a single goal, something I put on my calendar that I'm going to complete next Friday and check it off. Next Friday, I do something, I'm holy, it's done. It's a daily mission. And we strive to be more righteous today than we were yesterday. And when we slide, we turn to God in reconciliation. God loves us, and Jesus is giving us a roadmap to love God in return. And speaking of choices, we all have some big choices coming up this week. Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and we should choose how we will enter Lent. And we know there are three pillars of Lent, a prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And we'll hear more about this Wednesday. But in the meantime, we can take the time to pray about how we might go deeper in our prayer life, how we might be more intentional in our fasting, or how we can be more completely giving of ourselves. Now think about prayer, how you pray, and what you pray, what are your prayer intentions? Can you be more intentional? And think about the things that might be standing between you and God. Now, I know it's very, very popular. We give up chocolate for Lent. But, you know, chocolate gets a bad rap. Chocolate is not objectively bad. In fact, it's pretty good, right? But is that really impeding your path to holiness? You know, think about what is. What is impeding your path to holiness? Maybe it's social media. Or maybe other things have snuck in between you and God, robbing you of your time to pray. And when you think about it, and I hope you do, there are a lot of things that we can choose to do or to not do that can help put God into the center of your life. Now, I'll share with you that I've been watching a short series on formed.org, and it's called How to Lent. It presents a short 15-minute discussions about prayer and fasting and almsgiving. And they're very interesting. I encourage you to watch them. It's 15 minutes times three, but 15 minutes, 45 minutes that would be well spent. I encourage you to check it out in the next few days. And so for this week then, you know, I would ask you all pray for yourselves that you may enter this upcoming Lent with renewed intentions to be righteous, and pray for all of us that we may all have a more spiritual Lent.